We talk about our favorite RPGs because, well, it's a little light on news this week. Let's jump into it. What's up, guys? Welcome to episode number 29 of Diggity, a video game podcast. Just gotta let you know it's a video game podcast in case you thought it was a cooking podcast for some odd reason. I'm your host, Jeff James. As always with me is, some call him the prophet, some call him the next prophecy, it's Luscious Brody.
What's going on, buddy?
Not too much, man. What's it like to be just under the Pope?
I'm not sure, man. It's hard to describe.
I'm sure you know the future.
Right. But I can't divulge all of the information that I know, Jeff.
This is true, as the prophet would say. You can follow us on Instagram, at Diggity Podcast. You can also subscribe to us on Twitter, at Diggity Podcast as well. And please subscribe to us if you haven't already on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Radio Public, Spotify, Google Podcasts, I already said that, holy shit. Stitcher, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, wherever. We're trying to get on Pandora too, by the way. So I'm trying to see where that goes. I kind of filled in their whole thing, and so we're seeing if Pandora picks up our podcast. But other than Pandora, we're everywhere. So there you go. And speaking of being everywhere, audiobooks, they can be everywhere. And today's podcast is indeed brought to you by Audible. You can get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial by heading on over to audibletrial.com/diggity. Get access to over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, your Android, your Kindle, or your MP3 player. So head on over to audibletrial.com/diggity to get your free audiobook download and 30-day free trial. It's a fantastic service. You can learn things from books and stuff, and you can try it free. There's no risk to it, and you can cancel it if you want, if you don't like it. If you're like, fuck audiobooks, I'm gonna cancel this. You can do it. This is America. Before we get into kind of the topic of discussion today, which is our top five RPGs of all time, in our minds, I'm just gonna go roll through a couple of deals, because this is indeed the Thursday show, and on every Thursday show I kind of give a couple of little sales and deals that I saw out there for people, and spread the savings onto people, because video games are fucking expensive. I don't know if you've realized that. First start is Super Smash Bros. Ultimate for Nintendo Switch. There is a site called Mass Genie. And the way Mass Genie works is when basically they'll have like 10,000 copies of something, right? So they'll be able to wholesale order it. So if they get like 10,000 people to sign up and to commit money to it, they'll be able to order it en masse and then pass the savings on to you. So you can get Super Smash Bros. Ultimate for $48 on Mass Genie, which is pretty good. That's a pretty decent sale considering the game literally came out last week. Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild is on sale for $45 at Walmart. No Man's Sky is on sale at GameStop, only on PlayStation 4, for $10. Battlefield 5 is actually on sale at GameStop as well for $40. You've got Mario Kart 8 for $45 at a site called Rakuten. Rabbids, which you've talked about. I feel like we've given so many plugs for Rabbids Kingdom Battle. My God, holy shit. $20 at GameStop as well. Some of these are from Game Awards too, so they're actually highly regarded games, like Astrobot for PlayStation VR. So GameStop's offering that for $20. And you order that online, and it's a free in-store pickup, which is pretty awesome. Assassin's Creed Unity. There's digital codes for sale for literally like $10. Online. God of War for PlayStation 4 is on sale on Amazon for $30. So that's a fantastic deal to pick up. And the Microsoft Xbox One S 1 TB Forza Horizon 4 bundle is on sale at Walmart for $229. So good deals. Solid, yeah, friggin' offerings. Yeah, a lot of good games from, like, it's not like garbage games. Like, it's actually like really, really solid deals on really solid games. None of this like, hey, Barbie Horseback Adventure is on sale for $10, you know? it's actually good stuff. Oh, and there's actually one that I found, and I'm not sure if this is every single Meijer, but I found this very interesting. But there is an Xbox One S Battlefield 5 bundle and $30 off your next purchase coupon at Meijer for $229.
Damn, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's. I thought it was fantastic. I mean, I really thought that that was just really neat. There's also, for some reason, I don't know if this is true or not, it's for military members only, but there's a site called Exchange, and there seems to be an Xbox One terabyte Elite console bundle for military members only for $124.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so if there's any active service members out there, check that out. That's on exchange.com, and look for it up. But yeah, cool. So you want to roll right into kind of the topic?
Yeah, man. So today we chose to kind of do our favorite RPGs, which I don't know about for you, but for me this was kind of tricky because everybody kind of has their own rules on what actually is an RPG and what is not.
Yeah.
So
you're gonna be pissed.
Yeah, I tried to keep mine as kind of straightforward as I could, but as I was going through some lists of things that are typically considered RPGs and what is kind of your more traditional setup for that, turns out I have not played a whole lot of RPGs that most people would consider, you know, their actual tried and true RPGs. This one was a little tough for me. I will be very honest about that. But did you have some troubles picking some, or were you pretty well squared away on that?
I was well squared away. I've played a lot of art. What's kind of funny is mine are probably going to be like dated ones because I recently have not played a lot of new RPGs. But I've played a lot of older ones.
Okay.
And really it just came down to my kind of like pole position, I guess, or order of my five that I kind of found struggling. But other than that, I mean, it's pretty easy for me.
Gotcha. So the way I went about this, the way I defined an RPG game for me was any game that you have choices, and these choices affect how the rest of the game plays out. That's basically, I mean,
I think that's a fair way.
For a simplified way of putting it, that's kind of what I was looking for. So for me, my very first one is actually going to be, number five on my list, I guess, was the Fallout series, predominantly Fallout 3. I played a whole lot of Fallout 3. I did get into Fallout 4, but I never actually completed the game. So Fallout 3 was the one I actually beat and the one I probably have the most fond memories of. Surprisingly, it's not Fallout 76. But yeah, I had to throw that in there. But yeah, no, I think the Fallout games, while most of your decisions and stuff don't really affect the overall story, they affect each encounter with, you know, a group of people or a select person and things like that. So, I thought it was fitting enough that we could kind of throw it in there, but I really struggled with whether that was actually an RPG, you know, because you're also creating your character, so is it actually a character that you're just playing that's already been created, that all your stories affect? It was tough for me, but I think the Fallout 3 predominantly gave me a lot of good memories of kind of those water cooler moments. I remember going to school and talking to some of the other guys about things we found. I remember when people found, like, you know, the alien guns and things like that.
Right.
Like, that was a huge thing. You know, you went into school, you're like, holy shit, you'll never believe what I just found. Like, this is awesome. And like, oh yeah, instead of, you know, saving this town, I completely murdered the whole town type of thing, but there's one guy that's chasing me for the rest of my life now that can't be killed for some reason, you know, things like that. It was just, everybody was able to play the game differently, and it did have a different feel to it, and I think that was what made it enough of an RPG to kind of make number five on my list, so.
Cool. I think you'll be able to guess number five on mine. Do you want to take a guess, or do you want me to give you a couple of hints?
Give me a couple of hints here.
Released in 1995.
Okay. Is that
developer Ape and HAL Laboratory?
Okay. Yep. It's one of the Pokemon games, isn't it?
Nope.
No? Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I guess Hal wouldn't be, yeah, never mind. Is that, I'm thinking, Earthbound?
That was a great, that was, yes, that was okay. A great sound, too, by the way, for anyone thank driving.
You. Yeah, I'm sounds like a rat. My bad.
Oh, shit. Yeah, Earthbound. Okay. So, I played a shit ton of Earthbound. I've got Earthbound pillow in my office. I love the, I still play it. Like I use emulation. I still play the game. I love it. I love the RPGs of the 16-bit era. A lot. I liked how it was relatable. Even though I lived in Canada, it was relatable. It felt like a town that could be like anywhere, yeah. Like where I grew up. And it's really cool. It's four kids saving the friggin' world. That's awesome. So it's a perfect game. It has great humor in it, has a lot of twists in it and unique ones too. And it's, I don't know, like it was just, it was cool. Like it moved you in a lot of cool ways. It has, you know, some funny jokes in it and some pop culture references. And it's just a bunch of kids who are just basically, you know, sacrificing their well being to basically go and make the world, a better place. So I'm happy with that. And that's what made me love the game. And honestly, it keeps like, every time I go back to it, I find it better and better each time, and I really want them to make a new Earthbound. It's going to be so cool, and I think a lot of people really like that, even people who don't know what Earthbound is, because there's a lot of people who don't know what it is at all. Like, there's a lot of people who, like, when they see Ness in Smash and stuff like that, they have no fucking idea where he's from.
Right.
But it's a great game. If you've never played it, if anyone's never played it, or if there's people, sorry, that have not played the game, you have to. It's fantastic. Even if you're not like a huge RPG fan, it's definitely one that's light and easy to jump into, and it's just goofy and fun and something that's definitely redeeming.
Yeah, absolutely. I the only reason that one didn't make my list is because I haven't beat it. That was the other thing that I kind of set a stipulation for myself, is I had to have beaten the game.
So that's fair enough. That's
just
good.
Just so I had a valid opinion on it. But
yep. No, fair enough. All right,
you want to take a guess at my number four?
It's going to be a Pokemon game.
It is not.
Oh, it's not.
Nope.
How about is it Mass Effect?
Nope.
I don't know.
Number four originally was actually going to be the Elder Scrolls series for me.
Okay. For the I thought it would have been higher for you.
Well, I don't know. It's one of those things that I almost felt like I was cheating putting it in there, because I already had Bethesda in there. And it's basically like the same game, just in a different world, right? And
right.
I did focus mainly on Skyrim, but it was, I think Oblivion was really the game that really took off for me as far as the Elder Scrolls series, and that was a game that I had purchased it used quite some time after it had came out, and I couldn't get into it, and then some of my buddies, again, at school had gotten into it, and they were talking about how amazing it was, so I ended up going back and purchasing it again. And then the second time I got into it, I mean, I went crazy into it. I mean, we played, I would take my Xbox over to my buddy's house just so we could both be playing Oblivion at the same time, and, you know, we'd be running through the same town, but everything would be different. You know, he's being chased by half the townspeople and stuff. Meanwhile, I'm like trying to not get arrested or not get killed. Or like he focused on, you know, the Mage Guild, and I'm focusing on like the Fighters Guild and things like that. Like, with that being said, I kind of wanted to roll that into the Bethesda one and kind of keep those as their own thing sitting at number five. So I'm going to say my true number four is actually going to be the Fable series.
Okay.
Which Fable is one of those games that I, again, have just fond memories of, and sitting down with buddies, you know, passing the controller back and forth and and doing ridiculous things, you know, having townspeople follow you up to a volcano and then having them jump in, like, all just sorts of crazy stuff, or, like, the weird and bizarre, like, romancing options that you had in some of them, and just, like, crazy, crazy stuff, or how your character got fat if he ate too much, or he got skinny if they didn't eat enough, and, like, you get the horns if you're evil, and a halo if you're good. Like, I just think that that series as a whole, particularly for me, I think the one I probably played the most was Fable 3. I know I'm cheating by using, like, series here rather than just games, but I think Fable really has this game completely created around around being an RPG. Everything you do affects how your character is and how people respond to your character and things like that. And while it may not be completely to the level of something like, you know, Red Dead or something like that, I think the way that they implemented everyone kind of, you know, if you got horns, people are scared of you and stuff like that. Like, all your decisions affect you and in the world around you. And for the time, it was just, I think, extremely important to the RPG genre.
Absolutely. All right, my number four is Paper Mario, The Thousand Year Door.
All right.
GameCube. Yeah. So,
I remember that game?
Yeah. I thought it was just a fantastic title. It made me, I mean, it's what I loved about the Paper Mario series to begin with. I think it elevated it, made it cooler. It was great on GameCube. I think GameCube to this day is like it's the greatest system that Nintendo's ever made. Like, yeah. I stand by that, you know, tenfold. I think it's just great. Like, I mean, all around, it's just, it sounds so stupid because you're just a piece of paper running around. but the way that you could slip through cracks, and there's different, you know, mechanics where, you know, there'd be, you know, you'd walk by something, but then you'd realize that, oh, I can actually, you know, slide through that. Or you could roll yourself up, or you can fly off, you know, because you're a piece of paper and you can fly up and turn into a, you know, paper airplane. And so it was pretty, like, fantasy-based, and I really liked that. Mm-hmm. And obviously, it's the same kind of Mario story. Princess Peach gets kidnapped. But, you know, there's also, like, it was also kind of interesting, too, because you get a Goomba as your companion, which is kind of interesting. It kind of flipped the Mario franchise on its head a little bit. And the battle system is awesome. You know, it requires you to have timing. And I think it was just really good. Like, it's a solid game. I remember just playing tons of it, and it was a game where I went back to it, and I probably played that game like 3 or 4 times through. Nice. Like, I really love that game. It's a fantastic title, and if there's anybody out there that has played that, please pick it up. It is phenomenal. Its release was 2004, so I have some fun little fact ones. So that's my number four.
Nice, man. That's a good choice, for sure.
Thanks.
My number three, much to your disagreement, I'm going to actually say Mass Effect. Specifically Mass Effect 2. I could never get into Mass Effect 1, but I did end up getting into Mass Effect 2 and Mass Effect 3 as well. And
why couldn't you get into number one?
I don't know. There was just something about Mass Effect. Well, and I guess the problem was I actually played Mass Effect 2 prior, and then trying to go back to Mass Effect 1 just didn't work. Yeah,
that's not going to do
it. And the reason I throw this into the RPG category is because all of your interactions with different characters and your characters, you know, being able to make a character like you and to not like you. And depending on those choices, you could kind of affect what happened to these characters. And then also, I mean, depending on what you did throughout the story and the way you went with certain things, like, I mean, you could completely affect a whole bunch of the story and completely change how the game played out. Mm-hmm. And I've just thought that the character interactions and the being able to choose, you know, whether you're shitty to one person and nice to another person, or nice to everyone or shitty to everyone, and how that affects your character and the story as a whole. I have always kind of had this certain connection with that, particularly, you know, like I said, Mass Effect 2. I think that one did it very well and drew me right into the series. And, you know, right after I finished that, I jumped into Mass Effect 3 and powered through that. And other than the ending, I think that game was fantastic as well. And Andromeda just didn't hit those same points. that game was rough, but I'd say Mass Effect sits at a solid number 3 for me.
Mass Effect awesome. 2. So. My number 3 is something that I don't even know if you actually guessed this properly, but my number 3 is Golden Sun. So I don't know if you ever played that or not.
I never played it, but I have heard plenty about it.
Oh man,
it's on my list of things that I want to get into for sure.
If you have the time, hit up Golden Sun. It really is a solid RPG. It's old too. It was released in 2001. It's on the Game Boy Advance. Mm-hmm. But it's like a Pokemon kind of style game. But it was like it did its own thing. Like, you know how there's a lot of games that like tried copying Pokemon?
Yeah. Yeah.
It had some similar mechanics. Like it had turn-based combat system, right? It had really good graphics. And it had a lot of puzzle-based gameplay. That at that time was really doing a lot more than a lot of other RPGs could do. But it was its own thing, even though it had a kind of a Pokemon vibe to it. It was awesome. I remember playing hours of it as a kid. I probably didn't play this game I played it again a little bit last year. And it's just great. I actually have some fun facts about Golden Sun too, if you want to hear them.
Let's do it.
Okay. So Golden Sun was developed in 12 to 18 months, which is considered long for a Game Boy Advance game at that time. Because Game Boy Advance games used to be pretty short. And it was actually originally planned for the N64, but only made its way to the Advance. And it was supposed to be planned as a single game, not a trilogy. So that's why the original story. So if you ever beat it, it's kind of like cut off.
Right.
But we didn't get it. So it's awesome. If you can find it, like if you have a Game Boy Advance floating around, or an SP or whatever, or I guess a DS as well, like the original DSs, mm-hmm. Hit this up. Fantastic game.
Great game. It's one that's been on my list for a long time to play, and I just have not gotten around to it.
I'll see if we can find it in my boxes here after I moved. Yeah. I might have it with me. Yeah, you'll be hooked on it. It's great.
Yeah, it's always sounded like something that'd be right up my alley. I just never have done it.
Sweet. So. All right. What's your number 2?
Would you like to guess my number 2 or nah? You got any ideas?
Pokemon.
Nope. Sadly enough, I never actually put Pokemon in here.
Really?
I did not. It did not. For me, I guess, like I said, I was trying to define it as.
I think Pokemon's an RPG.
Yeah, it's one of those debates. I mean,
you're role playing as a trainer.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but at the same time, they're fairly linear. I mean,
it's true enough. Yeah, it's not
that was now. That was my my thing. Is each decision you made had to affect kind of
okay.
The store. Yeah, it's, I don't know, Skyrim? It's hard, man. No, actually, my number 2 is the Dragon Age series as well.
Oh, okay.
I really...
Giving EA some love.
Yeah, yeah, a little bit of BioWare love, a little Bethesda love in here, which Bethesda needs all the love they can get right now.
From you, yes.
Yes. But Dragon Age is, I mean, right up there with Mass Effect for me, but I actually got more into Dragon Age than I did even Mass Effect. I've always been very fond of kind of the medieval times and just the fantasy elements of, you know, being a knight and having to go fight a dragon or some just ridiculous over-the-top, like, I guess monster for lack of better words. But I think some of the story turns that happened throughout that game were very good. I did not put Dragon Age Inquisition on here solely because I did not finish it. So that was my other stipulation going into this, that I had to finish it or at least make it to a substantial part of the story, and I just did not in Inquisition. I don't know if my attention span is just not there anymore or what it is, but I could not drag myself through it. Plus, there's just so many games coming out. And
are you excited about the new Dragon Age? Because you kind of talked about it a little bit on the Tuesday show, but I didn't hear like a, oh, fucking Dragon Age. I heard like a, yeah, they did a Dragon Age trailer, and if you didn't fucking know what you're doing, you know, you would never fucking know.
It's one of those things that I'm waiting to see more. I think we're still a few years out, so I'm kind of tempering my excitement for it.
Okay, fair enough.
But once we get closer, I'll probably be pretty excited for it.
Right.
And all of that depends on what else is coming out at the time, too. I mean, I don't think it is a game that would overtake something else that is major, you know, like if it's coming out at the same time as Cyberpunk, I'm going to play Cyberpunk, probably predominantly over, Cyberpunk 2099, but, it's one of those things that I really enjoyed the series growing up, and I don't know if this was because, you know, when you got a game kind of growing up, you kind of beat it because going out and just buying a new game wasn't really an option. You know, I didn't buy games like I do now and move through them so quickly, which in a way I kind of miss, I guess, forcing myself to play some games that now I wouldn't really play all the way through. But yeah, I think Dragon Age just kind of hit that special spot at the right time, and whether I get back into the new one, I'm not real sure, but I had a hard time getting into Inquisition, and that's kind of the most critically renowned one out of the three of them. So
right.
I don't know, maybe it's just not my kind of game anymore, but who knows?
Huh. Well, my number two is probably surprise you. Ni No Kuni,
okay.
Wrath of the White Witch. So this came out in 2013. If you have a PS3, go play this right now. This is a fantastic title. I've told Brody numerous times, pick the new one out for PlayStation 4. Just play this series. It's incredible. So it follows, there's this boy called Oliver in Ni No Kuni, Wrath of the White Witch. And you play as Oliver and also his companions. So it's turn-based, fighting. Similar to a Pokemon, honestly. But the great thing, there's a fairy in it called Drippy, which is fantastic. But Oliver's trying to basically save his mother. And the Pokemon-esque combat system is just fantastically paired with the fact that this game's visuals are inspired by Studio Ghibli and the makers of some of the films for Studio Ghibli provided the game's animated cutscenes. And the animated cutscenes are fantastic. And honestly, dude, like, this was like probably, I mean, you call this a JRPG, essentially. And I was really skeptical. Like, my roommate back in college was like, hey, you need to play Ni No Kuni or whatever. Let's, like, chill and play Ni No Kuni. And I just, like, watched him play it for, like, hours. And then I finally got my hands on it, and I played the shit out of it. Like, it is a fantastic game. It's so cool in its visuals. It's so cool in its story. You really just want to update your companions with different weapons, different passive attacks, different types of enemies as well, or different types of companion story as well. And the game just flows so well, and that's why it's number two. Also the fact that it's Studio Ghibli, so, you know, that helps.
Yeah, I I had actually never really heard of that game until the second one kind of came up on our radar more recently.
If it's on sale, pick it up. I'm pretty sure you can dive into the second one because I don't believe it's a sequel.
It is not. I did look into that, yeah.
I have not dived into the second one yet. I don't have a PlayStation 4. I want to go get one. I literally would go buy a PlayStation just to play Ni No Kuni 2. But you have to have a lot of time. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, dude. Ni No Kuni was phenomenal. I can't stress it enough. Like, I feel like it was something that a lot of, like, unless you knew who was doing it with the Studio Ghibli stuff, which, by the way, for those who don't know Studio Ghibli, they did, Princess Mononoke or something like that. And, I mean, the biggest one is Spirited Away that they did. Castle. I this kind of went under a fair bit of people's radars when it came out originally. Honestly, Ni No Kuni 2 is worth buying, a console for.
Really?
It's fantastic. Okay. Yeah, dude, if it's on sale, pick it up. Like, it'll change your life.
All right, man. Yeah, I remember you kind of telling me about it, and it was one of those things that I kind of put on the back burner, and I was like, oh, I'll get around to it sometime. But next time I see it on sale, I'll pick it up and put it in my backlog. And then once we get some... a little bit of a quiet time in here. I'll jump into it for sure.
No, it's so worth it. Cool. Yeah. What's your number one?
My number one, this is probably going to be the one that pisses people off the most about not being an RPG. But
and it's your number one.
And it's my number one, which is...
it's ultimately going to piss off more people. Good for you.
There's actually a lot of reasons this game might piss off a lot of people, but we'll get there. My number one is Fire Emblem Awakening.
No fucking way.
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
Really? Not a fan, huh?
No. I mean, I think it's a decent game. I just wasn't expecting that as your number one.
Yeah,
but you are a huge Fire Emblem fan. So.
I am a very huge Fire Emblem fan, and the reason I am a Fire Emblem fan is actually because of this game, and that's actually part of the reason why a lot of people could potentially get pissed off about this, because this is actually viewed as as one of the worst to diehard fans, and it's also viewed as one of the best to people who are new to the series, which, I mean, prior to this, there was, one or two Fire Emblem games that had actually come out in the West. Yeah. Everything else had been, exclusively over in Japan, and so for me, this is the first time I got into it. It was right around the time I got my 2DS, and I was looking for games to pick up, and this was one that kept popping up. And I finally gave it a chance, jumped into it, and just thoroughly fell in love with the gameplay. I loved the tactical style gameplay, how brutal it is, where if you play with, the traditional rules on, if your character dies, they're dead, that's it. And so I just fell in love with the gameplay, and since then I've actually gone back and played some of the other games as well, and some of the older ones. I've also played, I tried Fates, which actually Fates is probably my least favorite one I've played so far, and that's kind of the newest, unless you consider the remake of 2 that they did. But
right, and this is for those who haven't played Fire Emblem, or any Fire Emblem series, liking this game is akin to enjoying episode 2 of the Clone Wars, like Star Wars the Clone Wars as your favorite Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
Comparative to the original 3.
Yep. It's
or just enjoying your top 3 is the prequels.
Right.
Versus the classics.
But for me, I guess the reason why I don't get into the older ones nearly as much is it's hard to go back to Game Boy graphics for me for some reason.
Difficult. For sure.
And
any game that does that jumps from a handheld to a console platform, it's fucking impossible to go back.
Oh, it's so
hard. Here's my thing, right? Is when Pokemon goes to, I get the Switch is kind of handheld at the same time too, but I feel now going to a DS Pokemon fucking suck, even with Let's Go.
Right. Yeah.
Once the new one comes out, my God, there's no looking back.
No, absolutely not. And it's just, like I said, this is one that some people may argue that it's not an RPG. There's some people that may argue that it is, you know, obviously the worst of the Fire Emblem games, other than Fates, I think. I think Fates actually kind of took the mantle of being the most hated Fire Emblem game. But yeah, it was one that I knew would be kind of controversial, but it actually made, I don't know if you remember, but it actually made honorable mention on one of my favorite games of all time, just because it has turned me on to a whole series and gotten me invested into tactical games, or tactical RPGs, which, I mean, I had gotten from, like, you know, Final Fantasy Tactics and things like that, which is also an incredible game, but I think this one hit a little bit more on the RPG side just because it does actually have, you know, certain things that affect the story. Like, certain people will die if they're not, you know, a certain amount, like, and they with the relationship with your character and things like that, I think. And then also, I mean, just the sole fact of if you do not play a level well enough and one of your characters dies, they're dead. So I think, to me, that is why I kind of threw it into the RPG, because, like I said, it's one of those things that I made it to where it has to be a your decisions have to affect the outcome of the game. So, yeah, there we are. I'm going to get so much hate for that. It's going to be great.
It's going to be awesome. It's going to be perfect. You need to make an Instagram post about this. Like, this is the best fucking game of all time. Oh, and just God. See what hate comes to you.
I'm probably not going to do that. That will just let people listen to the episode and give me the hate by myself. It's fine.
So, it's time for my number one. What do you think I picked? Just guess for it.
Super Mario RPG.
Close. Believe it or not, that actually didn't even make my top five. It probably sits in like number 7 out of like 10, honestly. Okay. All right. And that's just because, like, I don't enjoy the graphics of it.
That's fair.
And I'd love to see a new Super Mario RPG come back. That'd be great. But no, it's actually Pokemon Gold.
Okay. Yeah, Pokemon did make your list, off. Huh?
Yeah, so Pokemon, number one, man. Number one, Pokemon Gold. So I played a lot of Pokemon Yellow when I had the ability to.
Right.
And it was great. Like, I don't know if it's primarily just my age or if it was just I just wasn't into it at that time. Mm-hmm. But Pokemon Gold is where I really got into Pokemon. Like, that was my, like, that's what got it started. Like, after that, I had every Pokemon after.
Yeah.
I even had Silver. So I could, you know, play through Silver and see the differences. Be it they're not many, but, you know, whatever.
Right.
So Gold was just fantastic. I loved the story of Gold. I loved the Pokemon in Gold because it was the start of new Pokemon, which is very cool, which is the Johto League. Mm-hmm. And loved the legendaries in there, like Ho-Oh and Lugia. Obviously I still remember them to this day, which is insane. I was playing that shit for hours. Like, I remember sitting there on my Game Boy Color and had that sucker popped in with the shitty little worm light glowing down on the screen in the back of my parents' car or whatever, like headed back from a trip to some family members. And it really, I mean, it's one of my favorite games of all time. And from RPG, and I did mention it, my favorite game of all time. It is just a fantastic RPG, and I'd love to see them go. I know that they did a Soul Silver and, I forget what they called the gold one. But I'd love to see them do like a Let's Go with like Gold. And we were talked on a show one time where we said, hey, maybe they're going to do that. You know, maybe Let's Go is going to be kind of the engine to go back and redo some of the handheld ones. And I hope that's the case, because Pokemon Gold is just fantastic. I knew I had some friends that had Crystal, and I was like, fuck that, even though I couldn't get, you know, the legendary from that. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, that's
Gold is fantastic, and I think it's solid. I also look at Pokemon as an RPG, and I get what some people say, and you were saying earlier where it's like, yeah, well, it's linear, it's not, you can't like change things up too much. But I mean, fuck, right off the get go, you choose what Pokemon you want, and that changes what Gary has.
Yeah,
right. Like it's there is that in it. You know, you have the ability to, like, if you don't want to fucking go to the first couple of gyms, you can go and just train the shit out of your Pokemon. You can be that one kid that just, you know, has one level 99 Pokemon, and then the other ones are, like, weak as shit. And they just go through the whole game with the one Pokemon until they get to, you know, like, the water gym, and they've got, you know, like, a fucking, you know, Charizard in there, and it's just getting beat to shit. But, you know, like, there's so much stuff that you can do in that instance. You can also, there's a lot of other side stuff that people don't do in Pokemon games. Side battles with different trainers that are hidden, different puzzles and stuff like that. All the items that you can collect. So I look at it as an RPG for sure. And that was one where you could start trading also. And yeah. So that really changed it up a lot for me. Like, I remember being on the schoolyard and we had like those little cables and we'd be like trading the Pokemon and then it would fucking take forever. And then you try to use like the infrared reader on like a Game Boy Color, and that was brutal too. So it's good times, man. Really loved that. Loved the hell out of my Game Boy Color. You know, it was see-through purple,
mm-hmm.
and the fucking battery door fell off of it like every other kid's Game Boy.
Yep.
But
we just stumbled across my old Game Boy the other day.
Advance. Yeah, you're advanced. Yeah. And guess what? The fucking battery door was gone.
Battery door was gone.
Jesus.
Like everyone else that had one.
God, man, I fucking love Game Boy games.
Yeah.
Like, I want to just go back and get, like, I think I'm thinking about getting a Game Boy Advance, like going to a retro place or going to, like, I told you I want to go to a flea market together or whatever and try to find some, you know, finds.
Yeah, man.
But, yeah, I want to hit up, like, Game Boy Advance again and just play through a bunch of cool shit from there, like Ruby and, oh, my God, Sapphire and Emerald and, ooh, God, that series is fantastic. Yeah, Pokemon Gold, number one game. Do you have any honorable mentions?
I do. These were a couple of games that if I had made it further into them, I would have absolutely put in my list and would have completely changed the outcome or the whole layout of my list.
You're a noble man.
Yeah. Yeah. Persona 5 being one of them.
Okay.
Which I absolutely love that game, but I just got a PlayStation, June? And yep. So I just have not made it far enough with all the other stuff coming out and, you know, us having kind of this obligation to play some other games and kind of stay on the up and up of what's coming out. I just have not gotten back into it enough to confidently put it into my list just because, like I said, I haven't played enough of it. The Witcher 3 is another one that made my honorable mention list. I just haven't made it far enough. And I know that is terrible to say as a video game guy, but I just have not played enough of it to throw it in here, even though it's
an incredible game.
Yeah, there's so many games. And the last one that is my honorable mention, and the only reason it's an honorable mention is because I was very torn as to whether I should consider it a RPG or not. And everything I kind of was finding on it was it is an RPG, and other places were saying it wasn't an RPG, but it is Breath of the Wild. And that was one that, to me, it does not really seem like it is an RPG. I don't feel like there's enough of, I mean, there's a lot of things, like you can choose to do this and you can choose to do that and you don't have to do this and you don't have to do that, but to me there was not enough of being able to really control the outcome of the game or control a lot of the story. So I left it off of my list. While some people would consider it an RPG, it just didn't make my list. That's just where I was on it. How about yourself, buddy?
For me, honestly, I just have one honorable mention.
Okay.
Which is, you already said it, Super Mario RPG.
Okay, yeah.
And that was, you know, I spent a hell of a lot of time on that. I think it was ahead of its time. yeah. when it came out, which is interesting because it was on the SNES. And even from a graphical standpoint, that's pretty good graphics for that.
Yeah.
What that machine could really do. Great story. Awesome. Great characters, obviously. Part of the Mario franchise. And another one of those games where I just don't fucking understand why Nintendo has not made another Super Mario RPG.
Yeah. No, that's very fair. I can't believe they have not gone back to it also, but that's kind of their thing. They create a game that's a giant hit, and then they just don't come back to it.
I think they just have so much shit, man.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a ton of different things, for sure.
It's crazy. All right, guys. Well, that does it for our show today. Actually, before we go, just one more PSA. I discussed it on the Tuesday show, but for those who have ordered Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, whether you pre-ordered whether you pre-order or you buy the game physically for the first, 3 months, 6 months or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
You have to go on your Switch and you have to hit earn Nintendo reward points within the home menu system for that game. You can do that by clicking the plus button on the Super Mario Brothers Ultimate square that pops up on the main menu, and then go down through the scrollable menu and hit earn Nintendo rewards points. Once that happens, you'll get Nintendo rewards points, which are awesome and great that Nintendo does that. And second of all, the great thing about that is you should receive an email either immediately or a couple days later with your serial code to get PD Piranha in 2019. And so you have to hold on to that code till 2019. But a lot of people are forgetting about how to do this, and a lot of people are asking online, how do I get that? Where do I get it? Hey, I've unlocked all the characters except for PD Piranha. How to do that? Nintendo didn't do the greatest job, honestly, of explaining that. They explained that it was going to be DLC and that there was a perk of buying the game within the first 6 months and or pre-ordering it. However, they didn't send anybody the codes for pre-ordering it. They didn't send anybody codes in the boxes for buying it in the first 6 months. So it's kind of like the onus is on you, the gamer, to do it. So again, just go through the menus, hit earn Nintendo rewards points, and then whatever email is attached to your Nintendo account is email that will receive the serial code for that. So just looking out for people, because it's great. It's a character to play, which will be really fun in 2019. And another closing statement before we leave here is that indeed today's podcast was brought to you by Audible. Remember, you can get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial by heading on over to audibletrial.com/diggity. Get access to over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, your Android, your Kindle, or your MP3 player. So head on over to audibletrial.com/diggity to get your free audiobook download and 30-day free trial. Thank you, as always, to the Amazon team and specifically the Audible team for sponsoring the podcast. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Diggity Podcast. Our Instagram's pretty on point usually. Quite a fair bit of followers. On top of that, we also post regularly each day, but once or twice a day, either on news pieces and or letting you know when the podcast is up as another reminder to you. You can follow us on Xbox One. My gamer tag is Maple Jeff. Brody's, what is your gamer tag?
Luscious Brody.
Hell yeah. Leave us a review. Helps the show out a ton, does two things. One, spreads the great word of Diggity, and two, you can leave comments, which allows us to make the show better, or perhaps keep a feature that we have in the show right now that makes the show special, and there's a reason why you listen to it. Share this podcast with your friends, guys, the friends, family, aunts, uncles, stepbrothers, stepsisters, pets, even, Deborah, that bitch at work. Share the podcast with her, whatever. Spread the love. And until the Tuesday show, guys, we'll see you. We'll be right back.